Savvy Women Wealth Management is an SEC-registered investment advisor, offering advisory services to clients who have engaged us in jurisdictions where we are properly licensed or exempt from licensure.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Savvy Women Show with Catherine Magana and me, Steve Wolf, where our purpose is to entertain, enlighten, educate, and energize women into being knowledgeable investors. And guys, you can listen too.
Today's show should be really interesting as we have a very special guest with us, Larry Kotlikoff, an author and professor from Boston University, will be sharing with us some tips on Social Security, so be sure to stay tuned.
Also later in the show, we're going to be giving away another $50 gift certificate to one of the Vigilucci restaurants of your choice. So please take down this number, 760-692-5700. That's the Savvy Women Show hotline number. Again, you will need to call in later to win at 760-692-5700. And please understand that if you have already won within the last 4 weeks, you can't win again.
We did have a winner come by the office, and she said she was going to use a gift certificate to go out to dinner for her anniversary. So that was very special.
Okay, well, we have Larry Kotlikoff with us this week, and just as a little introduction, Larry is a professor of economics at Boston University. He's also a fellow of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, a fellow of the Econometric Society, a research associate of the National Bureau of Economic Research, and he's also the director of the Tax Analysis Center. His columns and blogs have appeared in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times, the Boston Globe, Bloomberg, Forbes, The Economist, Yahoo, Huffington Post, and many others, and also was on President Reagan's Council of Economic Advisors, and also is the president of Economic Security Planning Incorporated, a company that markets ES Planner, an economics-based personal financial planning software program, and Maximize My Social Security, a software program that helps Americans decide which Social Security benefits to take and when, and to get the highest lifetime benefits. So, Larry, welcome to our show.
Great to be with both you and Catherine.
Thanks, Steve. Larry. Wow, what a quite impressive background you have. So, how did you end up becoming such a success and a nationally known economist?
Well, I guess there are a lot of economists who speak to the public, and I'm interested in a lot of different topics. So, whatever is kind of important, I kind of got into economics to try and help people. It wasn't just to learn things about the economy, but to try and make it the subject useful. So I've always tried to figure out what does economics tell us and how should it inform policy decisions by the government and also individual decisions by each of us about our own personal finances. So I don't know. I just got turned on by the subject back in college and went on from there.
I am curious to know, is there an economist or is there someone who you just said, hey, I idolize this person and that's why I want to do this?
Well, you know, when I first went into economics, I didn't know too much about it. I just took a course in introductory economics. But over time, you learn who the great economists are and were. And Paul Samuelson passed away recently. Was perhaps the greatest economist of all time. He was a great inspiration. Ken Arrow, who's now at Stanford, Nobel Prize winner as well, probably the second best economist ever. So, you know, I've had the great privilege of interacting with these people just and when they were, you know, in their prime. And Ken Arrow's still in his prime. He's in his 80s, but he's still in his prime. So, there's lots and lots of economists I respect, younger ones and ones who go way back in time.
Right. Well, today we're going to focus on Social Security, and one of the big questions we always get from our clients is, will Social Security be there for me? How would you address that?
I think it's going to be there for anybody who's currently collecting and anybody who's probably 55 and older. I don't think they have much to worry about. There might be some increase in the taxation of the benefits. There may be some reduction in the cost of living adjustment, but it's not likely that their benefits are going to be greatly affected by because they've got a big protective unit here called the American Association of Retired People, the AARP, mm-hmm. it's something like 50 million members, all of whom vote. And these people will stop members of Congress from making major changes to their constituents. Now, the very tragic part of all this is that we have a Social Security system that's entirely broke. It's 33% underfinanced. If you look at the Social Security Trustees Report table, I think it's 6F1, in the very back of the Trustees Report is the actual truth about the financial condition of the system. To give you, put this in perspective, the Detroit pensions collectively were about 20% underfinanced before they went bankrupt. Social Security is 33% underfinanced. In other words, you need a 33% immediate and permanent increase in your FICA payroll taxes to cover Social Security.
That's just what we need, more taxes.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that doesn't include Medicare, its problems, or Medicaid. The entire country is 58% underfinanced. In other words, the country, the rest of the fiscal system is in even worse long-term shape than Social Security. So this is a result of our Congress putting all kinds of liabilities off the books. Also, the successive presidents have done this as well. For six decades, we've been taking from young people, giving to old people, promising young people not to worry about those things we call taxes because they're going to get huge transfer payments when they're old. So we've kept that off the book because we've taken stuff from young people, and rather than calling it borrowing, we've called it taxation, but we've attached a promise, and we didn't call it a promise return of principal plus interest, but rather we called it future transfer payments. And those promises are out there, and they just enormously swamp the official debt, the fiscal gap facing the country, the difference between all the expenditure obligations that the government has undertaken, according as projected by the Congressional Budget Office, and all the taxes the federal government is projected to collect. That fiscal gap is $210 trillion large, according to the CBO's most recent July projections. The official debt is only $13 trillion. So we really have a forest and tree here problem. We're looking at the trees and not the forest. We're actually looking at the bushes.
Well, so, what about the full retirement age? Obviously, that has been increased from 66 to 67 or phased into 67. Do you see that changing, or would that be part of the solution?
Well, one idea is to try and gradually increase the retirement age or to gradually make changes. But you have to realize that this is a these gradual changes are too little too late. Mm-hmm. We have to have radical reforms, and I've been pushing those. I have a website called thepurpleplans.org where I propose specific reforms of Social Security and the healthcare system and the tax system and the banking system and the climate. You know, we need a carbon tax to deal with the environment. So these are reform proposals, each of which fits on a postcard, which economists, I think, broadly support. So we have a country that's been run by people that, you know, all the economic policy has been set by people other than economists. And frankly, they made a mess of it. And the country is in terrible shape in terms of the burdens we're leaving to our children. Plus, we've got all kinds of other challenges in the education area, climate change, obviously. What are we leaving to our kids except a mess in every place you look?
Okay, Larry, I'm going to have to take a quick break here. But let's pick up on that when we come back. Before we take a quick break, I just want to remind those of you who are in our Savvy Women Show audience that our hotline number is 760-692-5700. And you want to have that ready because when we come back from the break, we will be giving away the Vigilucci's Restaurant $50 gift certificate. That number again is 760-692-5700.
Stay tuned to the Savvy Woman Show because when we get back from the commercial break, we'll continue to talk to Larry Kotlikoff about the Social Security and how to maximize your benefits. Savvy up.
Hi there. My name is Laura McGee. I'm a mediator and a divorce coach. One of the aspects of my work is helping women rebuild their lives after divorce. So listen up, ladies. Some of you are really good at investing and handling financial matters. Others, well, maybe not so good. It doesn't really matter. Savvy Women Wealth Management wants you. Do you want to have fun while learning? Do you want to be in control of your finances, more educated, empowered, and confident? Then you need to be part of the Savvy Women Club. Never heard of the Savvy Women Club? Well, that's okay. That's why I'm here. I'm letting you in on a little secret. We're not the same as the guys. How we feel about money and investing, who we want to work with, sets us apart. The club takes place in a really cool, non-threatening, fun atmosphere. So I want you to check out their upcoming events at SavvyUp.com or call 760-692-5700 and ask about becoming a Savvy Women Club member. That's SavvyUp.com or 760-692-5700. So go ahead, ladies. Take charge of your life and Savvy Up!
You're a successful woman. You have a great job. Perhaps you're married. You're probably putting money into a retirement plan like a 401k or IRA. You have an investment account that you have on autopilot. Your monthly statements pile up in the corner and get put into a computer file never to be seen again, except maybe around tax time. If this describes you, then it's time to take a second look at what's going on with your investments. Bring that pile of stuff that includes your investment statements, your retirement plan info, your tax returns, and the rest of your financial information, and let us at Savvy Women Wealth Management take a second look at it. With a certified financial planner and many years of experience under our belts, we can take an objective look at how you're situated as far as your financial goals are concerned. We know that all of us spend hours and hours planning our vacations. Let's take as much time to plan our future wealth. Look us up at SavvyUp.com. That's SavvyUp.com. Or give us a call at 760-692-5700 and set up a 30-minute consultation. Savvy Up!
Welcome back to the Savvy Women Show. Okay, we promised that we would be giving away a $50 gift certificate for one of the fine Vigilucci restaurants. So the first caller to call our hotline at 760-692-5700 and say Savvy Up will be the winner. That number again is 760-692-5700. First caller to call us and say Savvy Up will win.
So, Larry, what kind of tips do you have for some of our female listeners on maximizing their social security?
Well, there's three general rules here. One is that you want to try and wait to collect benefits because there's a for a certain period of time, the Social Security really gives you much higher benefits if you wait. So there's a big return to waiting. But the other rule is that you want to try and get all the benefits that you can collect. There's more than just your retirement benefit. You can collect a spousal benefit. If you're married, you can collect a divorcee spousal benefit. If you were married for more than 10 years, you can collect a widow's benefit. If you're a widowed, or you can collect a divorcee widow's benefit, et cetera. So also child benefits. There's benefits that even your parents can collect if you are supporting them when you pass away.
I read something that you wrote that said that one of your engineers and yourself calculated that for a couple 62 years of age, there are over 100 million combinations of months for each of the two spouses to take retirement benefits, spousal benefits, and decided whether or not to file and suspend one's retirement benefits. And for some couples who are very different in age, survivor benefits can come into play. And in that case, you say that the number of combinations can exceed 11 billion.
How?
Well, there are a lot of combinations, and our software, which is Maximize My Social Security, which we've developed, tries to take, does smart computations. The program doesn't take forever to come up with the right answer. It figures out that some of these combinations are being dominated by others. But absolutely, there are a huge number of combinations. It's not something that somebody's going to be able to figure out on their own. That's why we developed this very inexpensive software for planners like you to use with your clients, or for people to use on their own if they feel like using it on their own at MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. But the key thing, though, is that Social Security has a very, very complex set of rules, 2,728 rules, and tens of thousands of rules about those rules. And so these two general ideas of trying to get to wait to collect but also get all your benefits, they sort of conflict with each other, because if you wait and try and take two benefits at once, you'll just get the higher of the two. basically. So the key to getting the most from Social Security is to time your benefits. Take one benefit early while waiting to letting the other benefit grow. And some of the strategies that you referenced, well, Steve, you just referenced file and suspend. That's a strategy for perhaps getting a one of your spouse a benefit while you're waiting to collect your own retirement benefit. After full retirement age, you can file and suspend your own retirement benefit. Wait till 70 to collect the highest possible retirement benefit. But by doing that, you can enable your spouse to collect just a spousal benefit, which will be half of your full retirement benefit. But your own spouse has to be at full retirement age for that to happen. If she tries to collect, he tries to collect early, then that can trigger what's called deeming, which is being forced to take your retirement benefit early. And if you're forced to take two benefits at once, then you just get the bigger of the two. So you have to be very careful about the timing of taking your benefits. But there's opportunities here to make a lot of money from Social Security perfectly safely. For example, if you're a really high-earning couple, maybe you've been contributing the maximum throughout your working life, you and your spouse, and you're age 60, well, your Social Security benefits, if you start taking them at 62, your lifetime benefits are about $1.2 million. That's what we call the present value, the value in the present of the benefits as of age 60, of just taking everything you can as soon as you can at age 62. But if you follow the optimum advice that our software is generating, the present value benefits are really $1.6 million. So there's a $400,000 gain from doing things correctly. That's a huge amount of money, even for somebody who's a very well-to-do couple. So I'm not saying that every couple can, that's probably the most that any couple can hope to get from playing Social Security correctly, but even middle-income and lower-income households can gain tens of thousands of dollars by doing the optimal thing when it comes to Social Security. Even somebody who's started collecting early. Let's say somebody started collecting at age 62, they're now 65. They might think, well, they already made their decision. They have nothing that they can do. That's not true. They can wait till full retirement age, which is currently 66, to spend their benefits and start them up again. At age 70, they'll be 32% higher above and beyond any inflation adjustment.
Is there any penalty for doing that?
None.
So
it's perfectly safe.
Larry, what about some of the divorce spouse benefits that are out there? I know that it's those that are going through divorce, if they've been married over 10 years or they're also still have to be unmarried and age 62. Could they collect that divorce spousal benefit and then have theirs continue to grow to age 70 and then turn their benefit on it?
Yeah, for both divorced couples. The divorced couples have an advantage over married couples because they can both get a full spousal benefit if they play their cards right. And what's required is that they both wait till full retirement age, and each files just for a spousal benefit, not for a retirement benefit and a spousal benefit, but just for a spousal benefit. Then they won't get the larger of the two. They'll just get the spousal benefit, which will be half of their full retirement benefit, the spouse's full retirement benefit. Meanwhile, their own retirement benefit will grow by 8% per year. It's not compounded, so 4 times 8 is 32, so that's why I said it's going to be 32% higher above and beyond any inflation adjustment just by waiting for those 4 years to collect till 70. Now, I know that not everybody can wait till 70 to collect their benefits, but there are ways for a lot of people to wait by using their retirement accounts earlier, by continuing to work, by cutting their own expenses for a bit, by moving to a low-tax state, downsizing their homes. There is a tremendous advantage to trying to get the most from Social Security because, you can trust it. It's from the government, and it's inflation-adjusted, and there's no real risk, I don't think, associated with doing this, and people are doing it increasingly because... Yeah, go ahead.
We've been trying to tell people who are in their late 50s or early 60s to work a little bit longer, but you get a lot of negative reaction to that. But you're saying it really is a benefit.
Yeah, there's so many people that are going to live into their 90s. I think the probability that at least one member of a couple who's currently 65 is going to make it to the 90s. My mom is 95. I always use her as an example. Playing yoga, beating people at bridge. I think she's getting younger every year. You know, she has had major illness issues, but she's overcome those, and she's fine now and keeps, you know, trucking along. So I think, you know, if you retire at 60, then you're looking possibly at more years in retirement than you actually work. And that's not really a good balance. You're going to need money. And by the way, if you continue to work, it's possible that you'll raise your Social Security benefits. Anybody earning above the covered earnings ceiling, which is now $117,000, they're guaranteed to get a higher Social Security benefit each year that they earn above that ceiling, the prevailing ceiling. So in my case, for example, I'm a pretty well-paid professor here at Boston University, and if I calculated in one of my columns, I write a PBS NewsHour column every week, that if I work till 80, which I'm able to do since I've got tenure, compared to collecting at 62, or just wait, sorry, stopping work now and collecting at 70 versus continuing till 80 but starting to collect at 70, my lifetime benefits will be 20% higher, because every year that I work, I'll be raising the average, what's called the average index monthly earnings, and that will raise my basic benefit and raise my lifetime benefits.
And so, because it looks at the highest 35 years, if you're making more income towards the end phase of your career, then that obviously will benefit you in the long run.
Yeah. The benefit, the earnings that you make after age 60 are not being adjusted downward. They're just being compared with your earnings up through age 60. Those earnings are indexed to the year that you're, I believe it's age 62. And, sorry, it's indexed to the age of your age 62. Sorry, the age of your age 60, the year you're age 60. But earnings after age 60 are just being compared with those prior earnings that are indexed up to the year you're age 60. So there's a big advantage to high earners from continuing to work in terms of higher benefits. They will have to pay higher Social Security taxes, so it may not be, it's not going to necessarily be a net win. On the other hand, they're going to have extra earnings. Every year you work and earn more, that's one fewer years of retirement that you have to finance. And again, you may be able to raise your Social Security benefits. Now, for people that have, a lot of your listeners may have very short working careers because they were taking care of children for many years. For those people, it can definitely be, can actually be the case that if they work for another year or two, they can actually make more in higher lifetime Social Security benefits than they pay in extra taxes. So if you have a short working history, you definitely want to think carefully about when you retire, because you may get a tremendous return from contributing more to Social Security.
Okay, well, great. Thank you very much. We're going to take another quick break, so be sure to stay tuned. When we come back, we have Larry Kotlikoff, who will share with us several factors to consider when deciding when to apply for Social Security. So stay tuned and savvy up. Remember 1999? I do. I'm Catherine Magana from Savvy Woman Wealth Management. That was the year I started in the financial advice business. Let's see if you can guess when my partner, Steve Wolf, started. I'm your Venus. I'm your fire. Your desire.
Well, I'm your Venus. I'm your fire. Your desire. Seems like yesterday, Catherine. The song was Venus, sung by Bananarama in 1986. We've gotten to know a lot of people over the years. Many of them have become clients and friends. We've gotten to know a lot of couples and tons of women.
That's right. And it's our job to know as much as we can about them in order to properly construct their financial plans. In many cases, we learn many intimate details about their lives.
It's been interesting to see the dynamics, especially between couples. Oftentimes, it's the woman who takes care of the bank book, but it's the man who makes all the investment decisions. And the wife tells us that that's okay because he is going to take care of things.
In all fairness, most of the husbands did a good job. But the problem is that women generally outlive the men. Plus, there's the potential for divorce, which could leave a woman on her own. We want her to be comfortable with investing. That's why we developed our Savvy Woman Invest on Purpose workshop. It's a place where women can get comfortable with investing in a fun, friendly environment.
You can sign up at SavvyUp.com or call us at 760-692-5700. And please understand, this first workshop is not an Investment 101 seminar. So sign up at SavvyUp.com.
No more than 10 women per workshop. So sign up now at SavvyUp.com or 760-692-5700 for the next Savvy Woman Invest on Purpose event. We know you're going to love it and really have fun. That's SavvyUp.com or 760-692-5700.
And you know, a lot of husbands are thrilled their wives are getting educated about investing. So whether you're married, widowed, or divorced, this is a great place to get started. We want you to get savvy, and while you're at it, really have a good time.
Savvy up. 'Cause it's always
a good time. Well, welcome back to the Savvy Women Show with Catherine Magana and myself, Steve Wolf, and our very special guest, Boston University professor and economist, Larry Kotlikoff. Larry, I have a question, for a couple questions. First of all, one, as far as your software is concerned, if people want to get a hold of the software and maybe purchase it, where would they go to find that?
Well, it's very inexpensive. It's only $40, and it's at MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. So it's MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. And for financial planners like yourself, we just charge $200 a year, and you can use it with your different clients. So a lot of people like to sit down with a financial planner rather than do this on their own. Other people like to do it on their own. So we're selling the software to both types of people.
Okay.
And we've been ranked, our software has been ranked, co-ranked number one by the Wall Street Journal, and by about.com has ranked as number one, and other publications as well.
And how do people contact you if they'd like to contact you?
Well, they can just check me and email me at kotlikoff@gmail.com. It's kotlikoff@gmail.com. And just Google my name. If they lose that email address, you can come to my website. It's kotlikoff.net. And all my contact information is there.
Okay. But, when they go there, they'll also find things like you've written many books. Five or six books and a lot of other things?
Well, actually, we just wrote my, I think it's the 17th book. It's coming out in February. It's actually about Social Security. It's written with Paul Solomon, who's the economics correspondent for the PBS NewsHour, and also with Phil Mohler, who's a nationally recognized personal finance columnist. So we wrote a book called Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security Benefits, and that's coming out with Simon & Schuster in February. I've written a lot of books. I'm, a prolific writer, I guess you'd say. You know, I can type quickly. Let's put it that way.
Well, you were also on President Reagan's Economic Council, is that correct, or advisor?
Well, I was a senior economist. I wasn't working directly with the president. And I, just to be clear, I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I was interested in the experience as a young economist. A lot of young economists go and work for the Council of Economic Advisors to learn about actual policy formation. And I was proud to help the country do that in that job, but I'm not sure I made much of an impact. We did put out a very honest economic report of the president, and it got a lot of... some people in the White House were not very happy with it because we told the truth. We said the good things about the policy, but also the bad things.
You know, it's
and
funny.
People
want to hear the people want others, like politicians, to say the truth, but then when they say them, they don't like them.
Right.
So it's crazy.
But most economists are into just saying it exactly the way it is, and unfortunately, most economists that the public hears from people like Paul Krugman or economists representing the Republicans are very politicized. So you're not actually hearing real economics. You're hearing politics from economists, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah, but it's hard for the layman to differentiate between those two things.
Yeah, well, then I would say if I'd invite people to come in to coplacup.net and read my, to follow me on Twitter, read my columns about different economic issues that I've written about how to fix the banking system, how to fix the healthcare system. I've written a number of books for the public. They're not just books for economists, but I've written about the long-term fiscal problems. My most recent book was called The Clash of Generations with Scott Burns. It's a MIT Press book, came out about 2 years ago, which is talking about really how we're treating our children on a fiscal basis and the enormous fiscal burdens we're leaving to our kids. If you ask Thomas Jefferson what that behavior actually represents, he'd say it's immoral. He was very concerned about any government leaving bills to its kids, any kinds of debts. And I think it is immoral. Yeah.
That kind of brings me to back to a point that that you had said before. And by the way, for our listeners, we're talking to economist and Boston University professor Larry Kotlikoff. And that you kind of had a discrepancy there between ARP and the young people, because you're saying that ARP won't let Social Security die, but you're saying that anyone under 55 may not get Social Security. So how do you reconcile those two things?
Well, we're in a bit of a collision course. You know, if the system's up 33% underfinanced, then something has to give. Now, I think, I don't know what will give. I know the government's been printing money like crazy, so they're trying to, you know, in effect pay the government's bills, Congress's bills, by printing money. Now, Ben Bernanke, the former Fed chairman, put a good face on this, and he referred to this as quantitative easing. But it was really easing the burden on Congress to actually come up with taxes or cut spending so you can get that fiscal gap down to zero. Instead, the fiscal gap grew enormously under President Bush II, and has also grown dramatically under President Obama. But President Bush was probably the most fiscally profligate president in our entire country's history when you look at the actual data. So both parties are to blame here for leaving a terrible situation to our kids. And I think we are in a collision course. I don't know, you know, I don't think that Social Security is going to be changed dramatically for people over 55, but I can't swear to that. So our software allows you to specify reductions in benefits starting at some point in the future, because we don't know for sure what's what on that score. I do think that what we need to do is freeze the existing system in place for younger workers and put them into a system that's actually rational, that you can understand the benefits. The system right now is so capricious. I think the very best software available to figure out your Social Security benefits. There are 10,000 baby boomers retiring every day. If we sell 15 copies of this $40 program to individuals, it's a lot in a given day. So this means thousands upon thousands of people are getting the wrong advice about what to do with Social Security. Even if you go to the Social Security website, you'll get the wrong answer, because Social Security, their calculators, some of them are very crude, and the ones that are detailed are making very strong assumptions that nobody would think is reasonable. For example, they're assuming that the country's not going to experience any inflation in the future and no real wage growth. So anybody who's under 60, that will mean that their benefit recommendations or projections by Social Security are going to be dramatically or somewhat downward bias. And if you've got a husband and a wife who are of different ages, then the optimal strategy, when you plug in two differentially biased numbers into a Social Security calculator, you're going to end up with a really bad recommendation for what you should do. our software actually takes the Social Security benefit estimates and fixes them up, corrects them for the mistake that Social Security is making. And they're making it intentionally to get people to save more on their own. So they have this kind of well-intentioned lowballing of the estimate, but they don't really reveal this very clearly to the public. So, yeah.
There's a lot of different variables. So what kind of factors would you, people are deciding to when to apply, what are some factors that people should consider before kind of making those final decisions? Obviously running the numbers, but, perhaps maybe health or just some other things that they should be thinking about before.
You want to think about your maximum age of life. How long is the most that you could live to? Because you can't plan on dying on time. A lot of people say, well, I want to take my benefits early because I want to make sure that I get them. But the real risk is not dying, because if you die, you get to go to heaven. The real risk where you don't need any money.
At least some of us do.
Yeah, the real risk is living to 90, 95, 100, 85. So we, in our software, specify the maximum age of life. People can change that if they want to, but we set it at 100. Because we're trying to be very cautious about people's futures. And so I think understanding this longevity risk, that you could live a longer, very long time and that you can really get a very good return on waiting from Social Security, but then also realizing that you got to be very careful about when you take your retirement benefit, because the minute you do that, you get thrown into what I call excess benefit hell, where you can only collect, if you try and collect another benefit in addition to your retirement benefit, you'll just basically get the excess of that benefit over your retirement benefit, and that excess could easily be zero. So you want to, if you're married, you want to try and wait till you're at full retirement age and either file and suspend to get your spouse a full retirement benefit, a full spousal benefit, or if you're the one who's going to take the full spousal benefit, you take that and wait till 70 to collect your retirement benefit. If you're widowed, you want to take either your widow benefit first and then wait to collect your retirement benefit maybe till 70, or go the other way around, which is take your retirement benefit first starting at 62, and then at full retirement age, take your widow's benefit. It very much depends on your earnings history and also your deceased spouse. I mean, it's very complicated. If you have a spouse who died, and so you're now a widow, and your spouse took his retirement benefit early, his Social Security benefit early, that's going to affect your benefit. So what your spouse did will affect what happens to you and what your options are, and it will affect our strategy. So we ask some extra questions to make sure we get everything exactly right. So our software is not the slickest, and it's not the quickest to use, but it is the most accurate because we sweat all the details. If you're divorced, your ex has to be at least 62 for you to collect a spousal benefit. But again, if you try and collect a spousal benefit before full retirement age, and you're actually eligible to get one, you'll be forced to take the retirement benefit, in which case you'll just get the larger of the two. So that's not a good thing to happen. You want to wait till full retirement age, collect just your full spouse benefit if you can wait that long, and then at 70 collect your full retirement benefit in most cases. And if you're widowed, again, you have to see what's best. You may want to, there are cases in which you want to start your benefit early before full retirement in order to get an older spouse a free spousal benefit, a full spousal benefit. Here's an example. I mean, suppose you're 63 and your husband is 66 and you've been the high earner, and your husband wants to collect a spousal benefit on your earnings history. Well, he can't do that until you've filed for your retirement benefit. So you may want to start your retirement benefit early, let him get a full spousal benefit, and he can wait till 70 to collect his retirement benefit. Then at full retirement age for you, let's say 66, you then suspend your benefit, start it up again, your retirement benefit, you start it up again at 70 So you take a bit of a hit on your own retirement benefit, but enables your spouse to start collecting a free spousal benefit. I'll give you another example of something that's people won't necessarily think of right off the bat. I recently met a doctor, a lovely guy, top physician in Boston. He's 68, just came down with pancreatic cancer. He's got about 2 years left to live. He goes over to Social Security. They say, well, you got to take your benefits immediately. We're going to sign you up right now because we want to make sure you get your benefits before you die. That was terrible advice by Social Security because this doctor has a younger wife who is just 65. And if he waits till 70 to start collecting his benefit, his wife's widow's benefit will be 16% higher in real dollars over and above inflation for the rest of her life. And she doesn't have much of an earnings history. So once he understood this, he realized that he had made a mistake, and he was able to go back and correct it and withdraw his benefit and repay what he'd gotten. And is now waiting until 70 to start collecting from scratch. And as a result, his widow will get a 16% higher benefit. So you have to really understand that this is a joint optimization problem if you're married. And, there are tricky timing questions in any case, whether you're married, divorced, widowed. And also, if you've been married many times for 10 or more years, you have to think about which spouse you want to collect on. If you're not currently married, you can collect a spousal benefit on one spouse and maybe the other spouse who is potentially a lower earner. But if he dies, you can start collecting a widow's benefit, which is bigger than your divorcee spousal benefit on the first, that other spouse. So you can play one spouse after the other if you play your cards right.
Well, it's a good thing. It's a good thing there aren't too many combinations and permutations on this. Well, Larry, it was really a pleasure having you on with us. It was very interesting. Before I let you go, I do have to ask you one quick question. Who's the real New England Patriots? Last night when they won or the week before when they lost?
Oh, when they won. And the real Red Sox were the year before this year. And the real Celtics could go back to, I think, 2007.
All right. Well, we may see you guys here in San Diego.
Don't count us out yet, guys.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks a lot.
So we'll be back after a short break, but don't go away because when we return, we're going to be talking to you about the markets and giving you an update. So savvy up.
A man named George Adair uttered the following quote, "Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear." Wow. How powerful are those words?
We've all experienced the fear of the unknown. For some, it's easy to conquer, but for many, fear can be debilitating. We at Savvy Woman Wealth Management have witnessed many women who knew they needed to learn about financial matters, but were honestly afraid they would not be able to understand it, so they never started.
They just kept putting it off, and then one day, they were alone. No husband, no significant other. That's when the panic sunk in.
If that sounds like you, it's time to take control. Investing is not rocket science. Start your journey by looking us up at SavvyUp.com. Sign up for one of our next events. Our goal is to enlighten and empower women of all ages.
We believe in education, planning, and the discipline to stick with the plan. Let us show you how. Visit SavvyUp.com to learn more. That's SavvyUp.com. If you take the first step, we'll help you finish the race. SavvyUp.
As Mr. Obvious might say, women and men are different. We are different all the way from the hormones we have flowing through our bodies to the way we process information. For years, the financial industry was very male-dominated and male-centric. It was run by men who educated other men in the style of the way men learn. But things have changed. Many women have now entered the financial arena, and many other women are looking to learn more about finances and investing. We at Savvy Women Wealth Management believe that the process of education should be tailored to the student. That's why we have developed two workshops, Savvy Women Invest on Purpose and Becoming a Seriously Savvy Woman. We believe these events are tailored more toward the way women learn. They are limited in size, so the atmosphere is a little more intimate, a little more inviting, and a lot more fun. If interested, check out our event schedule at SavvyUp.com or call us at 760-692-5700. That's SavvyUp.com or 760-692-5700. Savvy up.
Welcome back to the Savvy Women Show with my partner, Catherine Magana, and me, Steve Wolf. And that was a pretty interesting conversation we had with Larry, and I'm sure he could have gone on for about another 5 hours.
Yes, and there's definitely a lot of different variations of Social Security, so it's something you should be talking to your financial advisor or looking at his software. Well, before we move forward, I wanted to have a little fun with you. Every week we have to read a disclaimer, which our legal eagles, also known as our attorneys, advise us that we have to do on behalf of Savvy Woman Wealth Management. So each week we like to have our a different guest read. And this week we have Steve who's gonna take a bite at this and read the disclaimer as quickly as he can. And right now the person with the fastest time is 27.1 seconds. So that's the time to beat. So, Steve, whenever you're ready.
You know, if I win here, this could be a man versus woman thing. I don't know if we want to get started with that, but I'm going to try. The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal. Please seek advice from a licensed professional.
Wow, I think you were the winner.
26 seconds.
Wow, that was quite impressive.
All right, Team Wolf.
Well, I thought I'd take a few moments and share with you why we do the Savvy Woman Show every week. The purpose of the show is to educate women about investing. Once again, we want to start or either further your education on all types of financial related topics. We don't expect you to be an expert, but we do expect you to know enough to make some well-informed decisions for yourself and your family. And we wanted to create a platform that was fun, engaging, and really easy to understand. So that's why we're here today. And obviously, it's not just about this show. We do run a Savvy Woman Wealth Practice, which is part of Savvy Woman Wealth Management.
You know, the real reason I think we're doing this isn't just to sit here and educate people. Yes, that's what we're doing, but why do we want to do that? The real reason is that we want women to be independent. We want them to be self-sufficient. We don't want them to be dependent on the government. I mean, you just heard in our last segment how complicated that would get. And we really don't want them dependent on their husband or their, you know, boyfriend or whatever it might be, or their parents. We want them to be independent and successful. So again, just like Catherine said, you don't have to know everything about everything. You just have to know enough to understand what's going on.
And a lot of women spend most of their lives focusing on others. And we just want to make you realize this is just as important to look at your financial future. And a lot of our clients come to us with really three main concerns. And those are, do I have enough? Can I make it last? And do I have to keep helping my kids? So typically we work through those different concerns with them. We do put together a lifestyle plan, which is more of a comprehensive financial plan. We also help put together a flexible investment strategy where we partner with you and share with you some different investment options based on your life plan. And then lastly, we have our proactive wealth process where we're constantly every quarter keeping you up to date with different financial topics.
And we don't want you to think that this is really just for women, because most of our clients are couples. We have a lot of men who are clients, and it seems like those people who are with us really enjoy the fact that we're educating both of them. It's surprising how much the men say, hey, that I really love your events and your seminars and your proactive wealth. But, you know, I ran into a situation the other day. I had to go to the doctor, and we were talking a little bit about his finances. And he was saying that the people who have his money, and it's not us, but the people who have his money don't even know who his wife is. Well, to me, that is just totally unacceptable. You know, most of the financial advisors in the past have kind of talked past the women, even though it's the women who probably will end up with the responsibility of the investments. And so for us, we want to make sure that both parties, both the man and the woman, are educated and know what's going on.
So before we get into a market update, I would like to share with you our next series of Savvy Woman Invest on Purpose for those women out there that want to continue to learn. We have our event coming up on Tuesday, October 21st at noon and at 5:30. You can RSVP by calling 760-692-5700, or you can sign up online at www.savvyup.com. That's savvyup.com. And these are really fun, engaging events. All the women that come through leave there with a whole other mindset of where they want to take their finances, and it's just a great opportunity to connect with other women and talk about different types of financial related information. So we hope you can join us. Once again, you can sign up today by calling 760-692-5700. And now, Steve, if you want to just give us a quick update on the markets.
I will, but I do want to make sure people understand that Savvy is spelled S-A-V-V-Y. And then up, savvyup.com.
Yeah, we just saw a misspell of it was S-A-A-V-Y, and that's not correct.
So. Okay, so in order to get to us, it's S-A-V-V-Y-up.com. You know, right now the market has really been volatile, especially over the last week or two. And the markets have, it's interesting. The markets over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years really haven't had any major correction. And that's a long time to go without markets, especially the stock market, moving down in some respect. So it seems like every time we go a little bit higher, people get a little bit more nervous. And as soon as the least bit of downward move happens, they get really nervous. We had a person just today, we were talking about market volatility and how scary it is. And, you know, the client was seeing the world around him falling apart. And who can blame him? You've got ISIS, you've got Ebola, you've got Ukraine and Russia, and there's all sorts of things going on. And that person believes that the sky is falling, and consequently, stocks are going to crash. Now, I do think that stocks will eventually have some sort of a correction, but it's normal for a stock market to go down 10, 15, even 20% before it comes back again.
And that's why it's important to make sure you're in your proper asset allocation, and we advise you to talk to your financial advisor to make sure that's appropriate for you.
Right. And again, we talked, I think it was last week about, or a couple weeks ago, about volatility and risk. And please don't think that volatility is risk, because it's not. You know, risk might be if you're in some highly speculative investment, such as XYZ biotech company that has no earnings and you don't know anything about it, and the possibility of that company making it is slim. So that would be a risky investment. Having an investment in some of the blue chip stocks like a GE, an IBM, a Johnson & Johnson, those types of things, that doesn't carry that type of risk. So even though it's going to be volatile and volatility will always be there, it's not necessarily the same thing as risk. So you just have to know, is it a short-term thing that you're looking at, or is it a long-term thing?
And what's the purpose of the money? I mean, are you trying to preserve? Are you trying to protect against inflation? Do you need current income? It's just really a function of also what's the purpose of the money.
That's right. Well, again, that goes to, you know, what the time frame is. So time frame will make a difference. If you need the money tomorrow, then you better keep it in cash. If you need it for 20 years or 30 years from now, then invest it.
So let's go through next week's guest. So next week we have Laura Magellan and Monty Howard from C2 Financial, who will be on our show to talk to you about everything you should know about reverse mortgages. So we hope you'll be listening next week on Monday morning at 11 o'clock right here on Financial News and Talk Radio. Every week, we want to leave you with an inspirational quote. So today's quote is by Eleanor Roosevelt. A woman is like a tea bag. You never know how strong she is until she gets into hot water.
That's a great one. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to another hour of the Savvy Women Show. And we'd like to leave you with this, that knowledge is power. For successful investing, never stop learning, and Savvy up. Good time. Come on.